Welcome to the Watoto Church Podcast. Prepare your heart as we listen to the message.
Father, I ask you to bless your word and bless the people that hear it. May your word yield fruit in our lives. I pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. We've been, in the past 3 weeks, doing a series on the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And my journey, I'll just share with you my journey a little bit. I gave my heart to Jesus as a 10-year-old in this church. And it was during the drama Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames. And those days, there was no crowd control. It was first come, first serve. And I remember came and queued up here very early to get into a drama. And it was a crowd. And all they did was open the doors until this place was full and then close the doors and wait for the next. And I was a 10-year-old out there with my mom and some friends. And as soon as the doors opened, I don't remember my feet touching the floor until we got inside here because it was a fight. And I sat round about the fifth row in the middle. And I was looking forward. I'd never been in a place that was this crowded and never seen anything like this. And the drama began. The lights came on. And boy, Heaven's Gates and Hell's Flames is something. And each time the guy acting as the devil would come, he would point and say, "You are next." Wherever he pointed, it seemed he was pointing at me. It didn't matter. And so I said, "Man, I don't want to go where you were wanting people to go. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to go to heaven." And so that day, I got the reality of the gospel through drama, and I gave my heart to Jesus as a 10-year-old. And I can never forget that. Right here in this church. Well, I continued in school and I had my teenage challenges and went through teenage turbulence and trying life outside of church, but still coming to church. And as a 16-year-old, I decided I gotta give God all, because I've tried all the other stuff. It's really leaving me more empty. And so as a 16-year-old, I recommitted my life to Jesus. And my friends who were with me at a Christian teenagers gathering said, "Why don't you come to Watoto? You gave your heart to Jesus there. Just come for a service." I'd never been to a service. And so I came here for a service, sat upstairs, and boy, it was alive. It was amazing. We sang, we ran around. I was like, "Wow, we can do this in church." And then I got seated, and the pastor came and said that we have some special guests that are here, and I know you were there. You're here for your very first time. And I said, "How did the pastor know I am here?" Okay, how did he even know? He's calling me a special guest and says, "Don't be shy. Please, would you stand to your feet?" And I'm like, "Wow." And so my friend said, "Hey, come on, stand." So I stood and people cheered. You see, when you forget your first time to come, sometimes you feel this is just routine. For a person who's here for their very first time, is something different. So I felt very special and honored. I'd never been to a church where I'd been welcomed to that stage. And after standing, an usher I didn't know came and gave me a hug. I said, "I'm not leaving this place. If people who do not know me can welcome me this way, I'm gonna stay." And so I stayed here. I decided this is going to be my home. And I began to learn about vision and how God has called us to serve. And before long, I had a desire to just carry on and serve. Yes, I was born again, and I now knew that I wasn't just born again to go to heaven. I was born again as well to serve. And so as I began to realize, and through the teachings here, that we gotta serve, we gotta be in community, we gotta share the gospel, I began to realize, boy, you cannot do this thing in your own strength. I began to see that some of the challenges in community actually could not be solved with just human wisdom. And as a growing believer, I began to recognize that in order to do God's work, you need to be empowered by God Himself. And I got to hear about how Holy Spirit empowers us. But I had some reservations with this whole idea of Holy Spirit. Because I would be in some meetings and I would see how certain people behaved. And then I would watch some stuff on TV and I would see people doing all kinds of crazy things and moving around and falling and doing all those kinds of things. And I thought, wow, if I'm going to really get into this Holy Spirit thing, I may experience some weird things. So I knew I really wanted to be empowered. I knew that to do God's work, I needed to be empowered by God. I wanted to be empowered by God. But what I saw is not what I really wanted. I thought, do I want to be embarrassed? Like, I mean, seriously, I come and say, Holy Spirit, come. And then I run around and start somersaulting and doing all those kinds of things. And then I also had a certain unfounded fear. I was thinking, maybe there might be demons inside of me I've never discovered. And so all those things began to create a mental block not to open up myself to this beautiful experience of Holy Spirit. And I would hear some teachings, hear some people talk through it. And so one day I got a friend and I said, you know what? I'd watched him, I'd seen how in his humility God was working in his life. And we sat upstairs. It was in the middle of the week. And I said, please help me understand this whole subject of Holy Spirit empowering and him baptizing us, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And he just took time and opened the scriptures and he took me through. And my eyes began to open. And I began to see that actually I was judging this whole experience based on what I was watching and my perceptions. But it was an experience that was promised in the Word. And it took me to that scripture in Acts 1:8, where Jesus was telling the disciples, but you shall receive power. That power is the ability and the efficiency and might when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and to the ends, the very bounds of the earth. And then he took me through to chapter 2, how that was fulfilled. And he told me, all you need to do is to be open to Holy Spirit. And I said, you know what? Now that my eyes have been opened to understand that this experience is not a weird experience, it is some people who are weird, okay? It's not the experience. Holy Spirit is not weird. It's some people who are just weird already. And so I just opened up my heart and said, Holy Spirit, come and empower me because I really want to serve you. So we're doing the series Empowered to Serve. And when we prayed, nothing much happened. But I sensed there was something in me that was hungering for Holy Spirit. And as I'm making my way home in a taxi, there was a well of joy that came to my heart. And that joy began to spring through my heart. And when I just wanted to praise God and thank Him, He gave me a heavenly language. And I'm forever grateful for that experience. That experience put me in a place where I felt absolutely empowered by God to serve Him. All of a sudden, God gave me a boldness not to be afraid to share the gospel. God gave me a boldness not to be afraid of spiritual stuff and demons. I used to be afraid of all those things. God gave me this supernatural boldness. I was no longer afraid. I began to experience people being delivered because we were doing youth. Began to experience when we would go maybe to communities to do something. There was this courage that God had given to me. And I just was, thank you, God, for empowering me. You know what? In the past number of weeks, we've been teaching on Holy Spirit. And we started by helping us understand who Holy Spirit is. He is God. And because He is God, we can trust Him. And Holy Spirit is a person. We can relate with Him. He doesn't want to embarrass us. He wants to empower us. He comes with a whole package of gifts. And we started to talk about those gifts, and we talked about the revelation gifts, which are mostly gifts that really work with the mind, where God speaks to your mind either a fact that is totally unknown to you, but he supernaturally gives it to you through a word of knowledge. We face different circumstances in life, and we need to make decisions, and we need wisdom. We also saw that Holy Spirit gives us a word of wisdom, where he shares with us a bit of heaven's wisdom, supernatural, and what to do. It's a word of wisdom. And then we also talked about, he comes with the gift of discerning of spirits, the ability to tell whether what's happening is either a work of God, a work of Satan, or even a work of man. Because sometimes people do things through the arm of flesh. And the ability to tell, to distinguish, so that you know what to do when those situations come. Those are what we call the revelation gifts. These are just lumped that way for easy understanding. And then last week, we talked about the vocal gifts, the ones that are expressed through voice, the gifts that he gives that way. And we talked about prophecy, and we shared with you on what prophecy is. It's both declarative, but there's also predictive prophecy. And all of it must be tested, must be judged by the word of God. And we saw that. And prophecy is not just declarative and predictive, it has a purpose to it. It must point people to God. The moment prophecy begins pointing people to man, run away. The role of the person operating in the gift of prophecy is always to point people to God. Always. So we talked about prophecy, and then we talked about the other supernatural things that God does through vocal gifts, and that is the gift of speaking in tongues, where God gives you a word and it is spoken in an unknown language to the person speaking supernaturally. And they speak that way, and that message is usually for somebody within that meeting, that gathering. And if it's in a language that is totally unknown to anybody in the gathering, then there's another gift Holy Spirit gives, the gift of interpretation, which is a supernatural gift to interpret what that tongue was. And it's because the purpose for the gifts is to serve. It's not for show. And so Paul encourages the believers in Corinthians. He says, you see, if you speak in a tongue, pray that God helps you to interpret if there's no one there to interpret, because it's for somebody. So we talked about the vocal gifts last week. Today we are going to conclude by the last three, the sets of three gifts that we call the power gifts. And I just want to remind you from the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verses 7 to 11. It says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith. We're going to talk about that today, by the same Spirit. And to another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. We're going to talk about that today. And to another, the working of miracles. Those are the power gifts that we're going to talk about today. But he carries on and then he says, to another, prophecy. And to another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues, and to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's Holy Spirit who gives these gifts. What we need to do is to be open and to desire from him. So we want to talk about power gifts today. So we've seen the revelation gifts, we've seen the vocal gifts, and today the power gifts, which are the three. Gift of faith. Everybody say gift of faith. And secondly, gifts of healing. Let's say together, gifts of healing. And the gift of working miracles. Say together, gift of This set of gifts are called power gifts because they are expressions of the omnipotence, the supernatural power of God. The expressions of God's power in our lives or in our work or in our service. And they have a purpose, just like the other gifts. The power gifts reveal God's unlimited power to deliver, protect, or preserve. That's what the power gifts do. The power gifts also encourage us as believers that God is with us, and it strengthens our faith. Power gifts demonstrate that this God that we serve is truly alive. He is alive. But also these power gifts accompany the preaching of the gospel, because God confirms His word through signs, wonders, and miracles. So for us to experience the power gifts at work in our lives, we need to be willing to serve. We need to be willing to go where God wants us to go. So this morning, I want to take a moment and just teach on these three power gifts so we get to understand them. And then also when God begins to operate in those gifts in our lives, or we see them at work in other people's lives, we'll be able to appreciate them. And for some of us, these explanations will create a desire in your heart, and you'll say, God, I desire to be used in that way. And you just open up your heart to Him, to be used in these ways. So I want to start by talking about the gift of faith. Remember, all these gifts are supernatural gifts given by Holy Spirit to believers. Now, when I talk about the gift of faith, I want you to first of all understand that all of us, every human being, has a measure of faith. That's not what this gift is about. Okay, every human being has faith, which I would term as common faith. Whether you're a believer or not, we all have common faith. We all know that when we eat food, something is going to deal with that food and I'll end up in the toilet at some point. I don't need to pray about that. You all had faith today that the seat you're seated on would hold you up. You didn't pray and say, God, I pray that that seat really holds me up. That's common faith. Everybody has that. Common faith. Then there's what we call saving faith. That's the faith that God has also placed in every human being that gives them a gap that requires them to seek God. And when you respond to that faith, you experience the grace of God, and then you are born again. For by grace we have been saved through faith. That is saving faith, salvation faith. And then there's faith that happens after you are a child of God, that I will call living faith. Okay? Where we live by faith. Now, living faith is what we're expressing today. We come to church, we worship God, we will pray, we will do the things that God expects of us to do. We give, we care for people. That's now our faith in action. It's living faith. The gift of faith is, however, different. The gift of faith, on the other hand, is an extraordinary faith that is actually a supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit, where He enables, empowers a believer to be firmly persuaded of God's power and promises to accomplish His will and purpose. It is unnatural. It is uncommon. God empowers a believer to have such uncommon confidence in God and His Word that is beyond human understanding, that defies the circumstances and the obstacles that that person faces. There is this unusual conviction that God places in somebody's heart, and it's usually for something God wants to do that is absolutely looking impossible. It's a faith that totally believes what is impossible with man is possible with God. And it tends to spark in somebody's life, and it starts to inspire other people. Examples of that kind of uncommon faith, the gift of faith, we can see from the three Hebrew boys in the Bible, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when they faced a king who was leading the entire nation to worship an idol. But these three boys said, "We cannot bow down to this idol." When the king came and said, "You know, boys, this is just an easy thing. A simple bow and your life is good. But you'd refuse to bow, I cannot help, but you are going to burn. We're going to throw you in a furnace." Uncommon faith was expressed in these boys' lives when they said, "King, we honor you. You're an amazing king. Live forever. But when it comes to us in the place of worship, we cannot give our worship to anybody else. We are going to worship the one true God." And here's how they expressed that uncommon faith: "Our God is able to save us." Okay? And they even took it further, said, "Even if He doesn't, we are still not going to bow down. We would rather burn." Did those boys know whether that fire was going to burn them? Of course. We all know fire burns. Okay? And when they make it seven times hotter, it burns seven times more. So that's what they were told. Those were the facts. But they had this uncommon faith that was beyond human understanding, that our God is able to save us. The Bible describes that experience. The very people who were taking them into the fire got burnt. But those three boys never got burnt. Now, if it's a movie, it's easy to act. Actually, it's not easy to act. Because if we bring a furnace and tell you, you act in the furnace, it's not a joke. Okay? That uncommon faith caused them to believe God for something that humanly had never happened before. Fire failed to burn these boys. And to prove that it was real fire, the ropes that tied them burned, but their clothes were not burned. It's crazy. They came out, the Bible says, not even a smell of smoke was on them. There was a sweet perfume from heaven that was coming through them. Wow. That's extraordinary faith. Extraordinary faith. Gift of faith expressed in these boys' lives. We also see in the New Testament how this gift of faith operated, especially through the disciples who had experienced the empowering of God. Here we see a story of Peter in Acts 14 with great faith declaring healing to a man who was crippled. Acts 14, 8 to 10 says, "And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb." This man had never ever experienced what walking was like. He had never walked. But when this man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him, actually it was Paul, not Peter. Paul observing him intently and seeing that this man had faith to be healed, with a loud voice, Paul said, "Stand up straight on your feet." And this man leaped and walked. There was a supernatural faith that came in Paul's heart that this man who had never walked from birth would walk without surgery, without anything like that. Extraordinary faith. By the way, this gift of faith empties us of any form of doubt and unbelief in a situation. And it expresses itself in two ways. One is that we totally believe God will accomplish his purpose. Gets us to that place. But the other thing it does is that it also helps us to have extraordinary belief that God can do something for us. We can receive from God. That we can receive from God. It's an amazing gift. I think of our story as Watoto Church. Our team leaders operate in this gift of faith. By the time they came to Uganda in a difficult time, it was faith. And they believed against all odds. I believed God. Our Watoto Children's Choir that we're going to watch this Friday is all a story of God's work and how God put this faith, unusual faith, in our team leaders. When God called us to start sending a children's choir around the world, never done it, and says you're going to put a choir together, send it around the world. Here's something that happened that many of us may not know. Marilyn, our co-founder, wife to Pastor Gary, she moves in this gift. She went to British Airways with no money and said, we have a children's choir that we want to send around the world. Could you give us tickets? Okay? Tickets. Now, how many of you would just go to an airline and say, you know, I have this deal here, give me tickets. And I have no money, by the way. She went. And then they had the conversation and came and they said, okay, we'll give you tickets on credit and you'll pay for them. She's like, yes. So where are you going? No idea. Do you have a map? Get us a map. And she just pointed. We are going here. That's how the first children's choir went. And they granted tickets to go and do a concert in a place we'd never been. And God provided the right people. And for 24 years, the choir has been going. Gift of faith, a work. Many faith stories in this church. So the gift of faith is God's supernatural endowment on a believer to believe against all odds. It usually defies natural understanding. It will even baffle believers. That's this extraordinary gift of faith. So let's talk about the other one. Gifts of healing. By the way, these gifts work together, all right? We're just describing each, but they all work together. So let's talk about the gifts of healing. We've seen the gift of faith. Paul talks about gifts of healing, not just a gift of healing. Gifts of healing, meaning that the Holy Spirit will give various abilities to cause healing of various kinds. So there are various kinds of healings that are needed. Some are physical healings and psychological, emotional healings, spiritual healings. And God will gift that person, give them a gift to operate in the healing of any one of those. And some people you'll find they're more inclined to seeing healing in form of physical bodies and cancer and things like that being healed. Other people, God gifts them in the area of healing that is in form of deliverance. And I'm going to talk about that. Because for healing to happen, there must be disease or illness. And when we understand the source of disease, then we will appreciate these gifts of healing. Now, some sicknesses are caused by natural things, natural causes. Because we live in a fallen world, when sin came to this world, sickness also came to this world. And so as a direct result of Adam's disobedience, death came. And one of the ways death comes is through sicknesses. So when a mosquito bites you that is carrying malaria, it is not a demon that has bitten you, okay? It is a mosquito. And you catch malaria because there's sickness, which is part of the consequences of sin. Other sicknesses will come when you're walking down the road and you hurt yourself, okay? You break a leg. That is something that the pain has come and there's a broken leg. It's not a demon that has broken your leg. You just fell down, broke your leg. Natural causes. Sometimes we get more prone to disease as we get older in life. Natural causes. Other sicknesses come because of sinful lifestyle. Okay? Sinful lifestyle, where we recklessly live our lives outside of God's ways, exposes us to disease. Part of the way sinful lifestyle can manifest itself is through failure to look after our physical bodies. If you decide to eat a certain kind of food without control, it's going to expose you to certain sicknesses. So that's another cause, lifestyle. But the other one we can't ignore is demonic activity. In fact, we see this even in Jesus' ministry, where sickness can be caused by demonic activity in one's life. Luke chapter 13, verses 10 to 16 records a story like that. Jesus was teaching in one of the synagogues, and it was on the Sabbath day, and there was a woman who had been disabled, had a disabling spirit for 18 years. This spirit caused physical harm to her. She was bent over and could not fully straighten herself. Demonic influence was affecting her physical stature. When Jesus saw her, he called her over and said to her, "Woman, you are freed from your disability." He laid hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and she glorified God. Then the rulers of the synagogue began to complain. Why did Jesus heal on the Sabbath? Instead of celebrating a woman who has been healed, they began to go through theology. Jesus answered them, said, "You hypocrites, don't each of you on the Sabbath untie your ox and a donkey and lead it from the manger and take it to water it, to get it to drink some water? Ought not this woman, a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan bound for 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day?" So Jesus acknowledged that her condition was a spiritual condition that manifested in a physical way. So some sicknesses are a manifestation of demonic activity. That's why this gifts of healing is key, and it will work with discerning of spirits and all the other gifts. Now, if we start to chat and tell stories of healing, we will stay here. Healings that you have probably personally witnessed, I've witnessed. There's a time somebody once called me and their husband was about to die. Said, "My husband is running out of breath." It was like 4 a.m. in the morning. I remember just saying, in my sleep, trying to figure out, I don't even know how she got my number, but she was definitely desperate. So I just prayed with her on the phone and said, "I'll check on you in the morning and be strong." So in the morning when I phoned to follow up, she was bubbly, she was excited. I said, "What's happening?" She says, "You won't believe it, Pastor. We go to the hospital and they checked, there was nothing, his breath normalized. Actually, he's driving us. We are headed to work." Just in an instant. God can heal. God can heal. These gifts are an expression of God's power over sickness, over disease. Our pastor in the Assemblies of God, who pastors in Masaka, was healed of HIV/AIDS. God can heal. Send that. one of our former pastors here, was almost written off because of meningitis. Said, we don't know if he will make it. God supernaturally touched him, healed him. Pastor Chris is still preaching the gospel in Canada many years later. So healing is a package for God's children. And the way God delivers healing is he will empower people to walk in that gift. That's. By the way, as I talk about this week and these past weeks, we're talking about it, teaching it. But next weekend is our communion weekend. We are going to step out of the way. We're going to let Holy Spirit do his deal. Next weekend, it's going to be prayer and experiencing his power. Finally, the gift of working miracles. The gift of working miracles. A miracle is a supernatural act of the Holy Spirit that cannot be explained by logic. It defies any natural laws. A miracle is either a creative work of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit does something that has not been and does it right there. Or it's an act where Holy Spirit supernaturally will defy any law of science, totally. And this gift of working miracles is God to demonstrate, is for God to demonstrate his supernatural power over nature that will point people back to him. Examples are Moses parting the Red Sea, totally a miracle. There's a story of Elisha, one of the prophets in the Old Testament. An interesting story. It's found in 2 Kings because miracles defy the laws of nature. It says, some men were cutting trees, okay, with the axes. As one of them was cutting down a tree, the axe head fell into the water. He cried out, "Oh no, master," because Elisha was there. It was borrowed. Have you lost anything that has been borrowed? This is what this guy was going through. Said, "Oh no, master, that axe that has fallen in that water was borrowed." And those days there were no divers like today. Today we have divers. They get a big thing and go down and pick the axe. No divers. So the man of God asked, "Where did it fall?" When he showed Elisha the place, Elisha cut off a piece of wood, threw it into the water at the place, and made the axe head float. Wow. That was like a Nigerian movie right there. You just go like, wow. And the purpose for that was not so that that man says, "Elisha, you are great." Purpose for that was to help the man who was desperate because he'd just borrowed an axe. By the time he borrowed an axe, that means he wasn't in a place that was good enough for him to even be able to pay back the axe. So God performs a miracle for that person. But also God performs a miracle to show his supernatural. All these gifts have a purpose. In the New Testament, we know how Jesus has turned water into wine. That's a miracle. Multiplying 5 loaves and 2 fish to feed multitudes. That's a miracle. God's supernatural power working on our behalf to defy nature so that he meets a need, but also causes people to honor him. Did you know this building we are in today is a miracle building here downtown? When Pastor Gary came into this building, when we're looking for a bigger place to meet as a church, walked through these doors and saw this building, was torn down, didn't look like it looked. And God gave him a picture of what we see today, filled with people, worshiping Jesus. And at that point, the church was not as big as it is. 2 years after the church was launched. And he simply prayed, God, give us this building. And asked the people that were looking after this building if we could do meetings in here. They said, yes, you can come. You're a church. You're not an enemy. Come and meet in this building. And God said, you're going to walk in. You will never get out. God said. Church came and held some meetings in here. In the middle of the meetings is when there was a war that was taking place in 1986. And soldiers who were looking after this building fled. The only people that were left in this building was we, the church. There was war, there was battle, and then came to an end, and we were left as the squatters in this church building. A few years later, God helped us to find the owners, and while the church was still small, miraculously God provided and we purchased this building that now is Wototo Downtown. God is a God of miracles. These gifts come to show us those bits of God. And so today, as I've talked about the power gifts, which are gifts of faith and gifts of healings, various kinds of healing, and the working of miracles, these are by one and the same Spirit. And he distributes each as he desires. But the first step, my friend, is not to receive the gifts, but to receive the giver of the gifts. That is Jesus. So as I conclude, maybe you're here today and you're saying, Pastor, man, I hear about all this empowered to live, but I don't know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. That's I think that's the gift that opens you up to receive all these things that God has promised. Maybe you're here and you're not born again, or you've walked away from God. You're like me, who experienced teenage turbulence. Today I want to invite you into the most dynamic relationship you'll ever have, and that's a relationship with Jesus. It will totally transform your life and will position you to receive every other thing God has for you. So I'd like us to close our eyes and bow our heads right now. Father, I pray for people who are here today that you have brought to church. Some of them have been coming, but maybe today is the day that you have given them a specific call to salvation. For some of them, it's a specific call to return because they've walked away from you. And your arms are wide open, waiting for them to come back to you. I pray you'll give them the courage to say yes to this invitation. While all heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here and you're saying, that's me, Pastor, would you pray with me? I would like to receive Jesus into my heart. I would like him to be my Lord and Savior. Maybe I've walked away from God and it's been a long time. I'm tired of living a double lifestyle. Today, I want Jesus to be everything in my life. If that's you wherever you are, just lift up your hand. I want to pray with you today. Thank you. Just lift that hand. Thank you, madam. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I see those hands. Thank you, sir. God bless you. God bless you. That's the start of a journey full of the amazing life with God. Upstairs, just lift that hand high, and I have a friend that will come to you and they will just spend a little moment with you wherever you are. Is there one more person? Thank you, right at the back. I see that hand. God bless you. God bless you, my friend. Is there any other person? You're here saying, that's me. That's me. That's me. Could we have an a friend, Asher, right here. Thank you very much for my friend over here. Wow. Father, I give you honor for all these hands that have been raised. I pray that by the power of your great love, that today these precious friends will receive your love, your kindness, your forgiveness, and that today they'll experience your grace that transforms our lives. And I ask you, God, that today they will know that as they've raised their hands, they've received you, Jesus, and they're now children of God. We welcome them into the family of God in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Come on, let's celebrate our friends who have joined the family of God. Let's all stand as we conclude. Now, like I said, these past 3 weeks, we've had moments where we've prayed and done all the things we got to do. It's really been ministry of the word. This next weekend, I encourage you to come, because we are going to spend time. We have designed next weekend's services to be around you and God. Just you and Holy Spirit. Because He's the one who gives these gifts. He's the one who fills us. And I pray that for you throughout this weekend, keep an open heart. And I'm going to pray with you like my friend prayed with me when I was upstairs. Simple prayer opened up a whole new world for me. I pray that God will do the same for you. I know you were born again and you love Jesus. Maybe you've never experienced that encounter that radically changes your life, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. I want to pray for you right now as we close. Maybe you're so here and in your heart, you want to serve God, but your desire is to see God grant you uncommon faith. God to help you operate in the gifts of healing and the working of miracles. If that's you, you want to be filled, you want to operate in that way, I just want to pray with you before we close. Just lift up your hands, even as we close the service. Thank you. Father, you see the heart's desire of your people. They want to serve you. And you say, before we go to serve, we need to be empowered by your Spirit. And so I pray for some of them in this place that God, if they've never experienced the baptism and the Holy Spirit, that Lord, you will help them to have an openness and fill their lives with the Holy Spirit. And along with the baptism, God, I pray you will empower them with the gifts that we've been talking about over the past number of weeks. Give them as you desire. Some desire today to operate in the power gifts, Lord. May you give them assurance that you've called them that way, and may they have the courage to walk in that way. And God, as we serve in the power of the Holy Spirit, I pray we will see healing come in our families. Healing come in our workplaces. Healing come in our city and in our nation. I want to thank you for that. Now everybody, you can lift your hands as I pray for you the final blessing as you go to begin this week. Now God Almighty, I pray, may you bless your people and keep them. May you be kind and gracious to them. I pray that this week, God, you will cause your face to shine upon them. I pray you'll give them peace that goes beyond human understanding. I pray that whatever their hands find to do will prosper. As I pray for them, I also pray for our nation. Lord, remember our country. We pray that your sovereign hand will superintend over the affairs of Uganda. And I pray that only your hand will write the story of our country. I give you honor for that. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. We hope this message has inspired you to spread the love of Jesus. If you would love to know more information about us, please visit www.watotochurch.com.